Let's say you go to a therapist for therapy because of your depression, and the doctor asks you, why don't you commit suicide? How would you react? And this is the question Dr. Viktor Frankl asked his patient who used to come to him for therapy. So, welcome to another episode of Book A Better Me. This month's book is Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl. So I'll give you a brief about the author and the book before I start discussing the summary of the book. So the author is a Holocaust survivor, and the first part of the book is sort of an autobiography of the author during his life in the concentration camp. Firstly, the whole autobiography part made me really interested in reading the stories of other prisoners of the concentration camp, because the author in the beginning says that he'll not describe all of the things of a concentration camp because there are a lot of people who have already done that. So if in future you see other Holocaust related books, this book was the reason. Secondly, this book gives the description of a concentration camp and the life there through a lens of psychology. He'll tell you things people do or people did there, and then he would also give you slight information, like he'll explain why some things happened the way they did. So for example, there was a part in the book where something very serious was happening and that person started laughing. So if it was us, and like us as in if we think about it, or normal people, and we are at a camp where anyone can die at the next moment, there is no surety of it if they'll survive it or not, and then someone just starts laughing at a very serious thing, then we would think that this person has gone maniac or he's not stable now, right? But author says that's not the case. In the reality, when humans are faced with very abnormal situations, we react very abnormally. And even laughing in such situation is normal because that's how brains react to it. So the whole book was very interesting. And by the end of the book, the author answers the question which all of the nihilists ask: what is the meaning of life? So he answers it in the end, and I'll also tell you it in the end. With that, I'll start the summary. But before I do, I'll just like to state that since I have a time constraint in the video, I'm not covering the whole summary. I'm just covering the most important part in this video. If you want to read the whole summary of the book, you can go and read it in my newsletter. It's completely free of charge. So with that, I'll begin the summary. So in the beginning, the author explains the different aspects of the camp. He tells how the food was given and that the quality of it. So he says that the soup was as thin as water. He also tells about a bonus coupon they would get sometimes, and they could use this bonus coupon to get themselves a cigarette, which they used to exchange it among themselves for more food. So it was very common. He also explains in detail about the camp, how there were a lot of people and they used to live in such unhygienic condition, and the way they were transported from one camp to another. Like, I didn't know, but I came to know in this book that the prisoners in the concentration camp were moved from one concentration camp to other on regular basis, and the prisoners were divided into two parts. The first part would be the ones who were good to work. If they were healthy, they could work. They would be used as slaves to do things for them, like build roads, dug holes, all these kind of things. They were not given proper food. In the winters, they would get frostbites and other similar diseases. There were epidemics in the concentration camp, so a lot of mortality came from there too. And the second part is sick. So if you are sick in a concentration camp, you would be taken to the gas chamber, where the people in the camp would try their best to work as hard as they could so as not to appear to be sick. Even then, they would be punished randomly. They would be beaten out of blue by the guards without any reason. They would not be supplied proper medicines for the sick. So the overall the condition was very terrible. And even if someone fell sick and they would be given some time to get well, they would be in such bad condition that they would just lie down in their urine and feces. So that was the condition in the concentration camp. The reason for his survival is his will to live. Author quotes Nietzsche's words, "He who has a why to live, for can bear almost any how." So he basically says that if you have a reason why you want to live, then you could go through any of the conditions and you will still live. And this why is associated with the meaning of life. People ask the meaning of life and expect to hear a very generic answer, that you will ask someone what is the meaning of life and they'll tell that it's to grow, be rich or anything. Just a generic answer which is common to all, just like 2 plus 2 is 4. But that's not how it works. Author says every person is unique and each person has a different meaning for life. So he also explains how we can discover our meaning for life. First option is by creating a work or doing a deed. So author says the first one was used by him also. So while author was captured and sent to a concentration camp, he was writing a manuscript, but that manuscript was lost. So he wanted to write that manuscript again after he got freed. He didn't know how much time it would take for him to do so, but he took that time, and that was his meaning in life. So for some people it could be doing something specific, like reaching a goal. That can be meaning in life. Second is by experiencing something or by encountering something. This is like you meet someone or you go through something and then you become of that mindset that, okay, I have done this. This inspired me so much. Now I want to do this. It can also contain by meeting the people you love. Let's say your wife and children. They can also be your meaning for life. Like, look at it. A lot of people, like suicidal people, live because they have a loved one and they can't see them hurt. They think that, okay, they have this loved one and they don't want to do anything to themselves. So that can be a meaning for life too. And the third is by the attitude we take towards unavoidable suffering. So like in one previous book, 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. Peterson mentions that life is a suffering. Similar thing has been said by Dr. Frankl. He says that life has suffering, but by the attitude we look at the suffering, that can give us meaning too. For this, he gives a story. So while he was practicing after he was released from concentration camp, many years after that, he was practicing as a doctor. Okay. And there was this old man who came to him. The old man said that my wife died. The old man said that my wife died 2 years ago and I'm still depressed and sad about her leaving before me. It pains me a lot. The author simply asks him, let's say instead of your wife, you had died. What would have happened to your wife? So the man says that if the places would have been reversed, her wife would be suffering a lot. He wouldn't have wanted that. So with that, the author says, with this mindset and perspective, he found a meaning for his suffering. The meaning for his suffering was that by his suffering, he prevented the suffering of his wife, right? So that was actually a very beautiful way, in my opinion, to look at a suffering. So with these three methods, we can all discover the meaning of life. In the book, the author also mentions that people are obsessed with being happy. The common people feel that if you are unhappy, that is a sign of an abnormal thing, and that something is wrong with you. But in reality, it's really not. Being unhappy is a part of finding the meaning to your life. Human state is not supposed to be tensionless always. Tension is supposed to be good. Like, not a lot, of course, but a little. And then he talks about tragic optimism. Tragic optimism simply means that someone being optimistic even when faced with the tragic triad, that is the three tragic things, and these three things are pain, guilt and death. He says that, as I quote, an optimism in the face of tragedy and in view of the human potential, which at its best always allows for, first, turning suffering into a human achievement and accomplishment, second, deriving from guilt the opportunity to change oneself for the better, third, deriving from life's transitoriness an incentive to take responsible action. Overall, it was a very interesting book, and like, I know the video is short, but the newsletter is actually much more elaborate, and I would say that everyone, if you don't already have subscribed to the newsletter, you should, and you should read the newsletter. And if you really want to read the book, then go for it. The book is amazing. Like, I loved reading the whole book. And it's not a big book, it's of around 200 pages, and you can read it in 3 days easily. I think, according to me, you can easily read it in 3 days. With that, I'll end today's episode. Thank you and have a nice day.